Father, we thank you so much that your word is here to change our lives. I thank you so much that 2,000 plus years later, your word is still real, relevant, ready to change. God, please, may there be somebody here who just needs a word from you today. God, a rhema word, that your word's going to jump off the page. It's going to literally save them from some pit, from some trap, or just lift them up off this earth. God, thank you that your word has everything we need from beginning to end. It tells us all about the end and the beginning. God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the God who knows the end from the beginning. And before each one of us were made, you knew us. What an awesome promise that is. We love you, God, and we surrender this time to you. In the name of Christ, amen. So something crazy is happening in Rome right now, according to the book of 1 Timothy. The government is going through a change. Whereas at one point in time, Christianity was a state-run affair, it has become a little too dangerous, a little too uncontrollable. These churches were doing what they were told when they were big, well-funded, when they offered opportunity to make a little coin. You could keep these pastors in line. The government could just show up and go, hey, looky here. You want to stay making your piecemeal? And you'll do what you're told. You'll teach what you're told. You'll have service when you're told. Now, where have I heard that before? I can't think of anything. If I think about it before the end of the service, I'll let you know. However, this is what is happening in Rome. The Apostle Paul is sad to see it, that how in the world could this happen in his time, a mere 30 or 40 years after Christ has departed. And here it is, going bad so fast. That's the thing I think some people have trouble with. They read the Bible and they see all of these things. You read the book of the instructional books, the instructional epistles, 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, and you read them and it's, well, don't do this, and then do this, and then don't do this, and then do this. And you're like, man, how long how did it take for this church to get so messed up? Like, right from the beginning, guys. Like, if you think we waited 2,000 years to screw this thing up, nope, they've been screwing it up like day one. And it's okay. It kind of comforts me a little bit, like, I'm not the only one messing up. That's what the grace of God and the mercy of God is all about. It was a man from a very, very, I haven't been to the church in a long time, but there's a church called Brooklyn Tabernacle. They're in New York. And it's one of those amazing, it's one of those churches that's big because it's good and not good because it's big. You know what I'm talking about? He said, I was at a pastor's conference like 12, 15 years ago, and he said something very interesting. Somebody handed in a question, said, hey, my church is doing this, my church is doing that, all these unbiblical practices, what should I do about it? I'm thinking about leaving my church. And he said, and he took some time and thought, he said, let me tell you, I hope that I have the most biblical church in the country, in the world. So, but if you ever start to presuppose that God is working because of you instead of in spite of you, you're really messing up. God is always moving in spite of our screw-ups and our stupidities and our sins and our transgressions and our trespasses. He's never, ever, well, we have the most biblical church, and of course, the teacher that stands closest to the word. He's always working in spite of us. So be careful with that. Obviously, never let that be your excuse. However, it should always be your example. Now again, because the book of 1 Timothy is an instructional book to a pastor, and this pastor, this young pastor, happens to be a son in the faith to the Apostle Paul, and because if you were here last couple of weeks, we talked about how Timothy's heart was so, so precious to Paul. You know, that was his son. You know, he had lost his other children when he became a Christian. And it's a tough thing when you got to send your kid out. You know, your kid goes off to college. Or how many of you guys have sent a kid to college before? It's hard, man. No joke. That first day you walk in that house, and that house, and his kid ain't there. You know, you walk in their room, and I mean, some of you guys are like real cold-hearted. Like before they were gone, the room's like a den. You know what I mean? But at our house, man, it was a shrine, man. Like 5 years later, we're still pulling stuff out of it. Remember when he did this? My kid was in school for like 9 months. It broke our hearts. You know? It's not like he went away for years. And when he finished school, he's like, oh, come back home. He's like, I ain't coming back home. Like, you're coming back home. Man, I come back. So I understand how how Paul felt about his Timothy. I do. And giving him instruction about this time and this place, he gets to the place where look, guys, it's going down before us. We had a good run. And as weird as it sounds to some of you, the fact that God used Donald Trump to delay 4 years of what was happening for 8 years of Obama, it's going down now. Babylon has fallen, as they say. Our country is going the way of socialism. It's not going to be long. And this is what was going on back then as well. The country, Rome, was going to be taken over. Christianity was going to be outlawed. As a matter of fact, it's only a few years later, while Rome burnt, Nero fiddled. And that's what's happening. So what do you do? As a pastor, what do you got to tell your people? Arm yourselves and fight? It's not our job. The battle belongs to the Lord. And for you guys that are like myself, hey, listen, I have everything it takes. I have the will. I have the constitution. I have zero conscience. So let's just fight. Let's just take this nation by force. The Lord Jesus says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. It's time to turn the other cheek and go the extra mile. It's time we become the doormat we've been telling ourselves we're never going to become. They are going to walk all over you. The Lord Jesus said this way, behold, I send you out as sheep to the slaughter. This is hard for me, guys. I don't like this message, but I must stick to the message. And the message is really, really simple. Let's, before we go fully into that realm, because it's the end of this book and because there's one last thing that Paul wanted, in verse 17 of chapter 6, he says, I want you to command those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He says, listen, you rich people. I want you to tell these rich people, don't think your money's going to save you. It's almost like a message coming right out of the radio today. I had this friend of mine in Nicaragua. Came down one time and we went to lunch. And he's also in the same industry I'm in. And I say, how'd you get into this industry? And he says, I'm really not in this industry. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, our country went socialist about 30 years ago. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, the government confiscated all of our money and all of our land. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you Americans, you make me laugh. Like, what are you talking about? He says, don't you understand, once your government turns socialist, they will fail your money. They will crash your money. They will take your land. They will confiscate your bank account. You won't have anything. All of these millionaires, they're not going to be anything anymore. The only one that's going to be left are the billionaires. Nobody touches their money because they support what the government's doing so they could keep their money. I was like, I remember. It's like, can you think about it? I want you to think about that. You're here. Say you're in your 50s. You've worked your whole life. You went to school. You did everything the right way. You saved your money. You got a nice little nest egg. You got a house. It's kind of paid for almost. A little bit of mortgage left on it maybe. But you're looking good. You can retire in the next 10 years. And you can take your ease and breathe a little bit. Maybe do a little travel. And then the government comes along and they have what's called hyper or superinflation. Where now the money that you've saved, that you have in your house, maybe under your bed or in your safe, is now worthless. Money that you have in the bank, government took it. They have to. How else are they going to feed all the people they told they shouldn't? They don't have to go to work. They want to give people a living wage. Got to take care of people. There's got to be equity. Wait, I thought it was equality. No, it's called equity. Level the playing field. No. The guy we just elected, he talks about equality. No, he talks about equity. What's the difference? Well, you have equality of opportunity versus equity of outcome. What is that, Ryan? What are you talking about? Listen, everybody that comes to America because they want to work hard and get ahead. And all this racist stuff, all this, nobody cares about that because it's still better here than anywhere else. I don't care what you call me. Call me any four-letter, any ten, I don't care, just as long as I work hard to get money. You could call me a guinea wop, grease ball, anything you want. I don't care, as long as you pay me for the service. It's that simple. And I will guarantee you most other people aren't looking for their safe space also. They just want to work hard and get paid. You can call them anything you want. They're not going to call the newspaper, not going to call the police. They don't care. Listen, I am working. I'm cutting your grass. I'm painting your lawn. Whatever I'm doing, I don't care what you call me. Just give me the money for the work that I get. I know that's how I grew up. That's when my grandfather came to this country, fleeing communism. And all of a sudden, banks are now government owned. And you don't get your money. But I put my money in the bank. Well, you don't get it. And the deed to your property is now owned by the government. And they do what they want with it. As a matter of fact, if you own too much of it, they'll just take it. I'll tell you a funny thing. This is an interesting thing. I'm going to mess up some of the names, but I'm going to give you the principles here. Jordan Peterson did this amazing study he was a part of. They took 10,000 people and they gave them a dollar each. And they said, we want you guys to gamble the money with a flip of a coin and let's see what happens. It should be random. And if there is any equity to the randomness of the universe, again, I'm speaking scientific etherealism. It's not spiritual, so please don't think this is Christianity, but there's a good principle here. So all these people went around, and do you know what happened after 2 days? Five people had all the money. You get a dollar, I get a dollar, she gets a dollar, we flip. Boop, boop. Okay, I take your dollar. Now me, flip, I take your dollar. And after 10,000 people did this, five people had all the money. That doesn't make sense. If it's random, if there's any equity to the universe, then each people should get ahead. And they did it a dozen times. And every single time, there is no equity. There's only equality of opportunity. Everybody had the same opportunity, but yet some reason all the money pools to one place. Now, Ryan, apply this, please, because you're talking a little bit of psychobabble. Listen to me. In the 1930s, it might have been World War I, it might be in the teens, in Russia, there was one farm that covered hundreds and hundreds of miles of square, and this was the most productive farm in all of, not Russia, it was Kiev, is Ukraine. So the Russian government said, you know what? It's not fair that you guys are producing all of the farm, all the bread and the grain and fruits and vegetables. So what we're going to do is we're going to split your farm up, and we're going to give it to other people. Equity. Give them equity. Are you guys following me? Well, do you know what happened? It failed. And the only thing that wound up was the original farmer. What does this mean? You cannot create equity. Some people just screw their lives up. Some people have quote unquote bad luck or quote unquote terrible work ethic, quote unquote bad business people. And if you take from the rich and give to the poor in an unequal way, equity never works out. The government does not create job. The government only protects opportunity. Did that make sense to anybody? The private sector is the only place where jobs are created. Well, you might say, yeah, but then you wind up with billionaires. You do. And in every situation you can wind up. Now, there should be things in place because monopolies in America are not supposed to exist. That's why they broke up Southern Bell. That's when AT&T was broken up, and then you had Bell South and Bell North. All these, they've broken up because they controlled the market, just like U.S. Steel, just like what's going on right now with Google. But guess what? Google was smart. They paid off all the politicians, so they're never going to be broken up. You will never see a politician come out against Mark Zuckerberg, against Google. They will never do that, because the very next election, they'll take their funds and they'll give it to somebody else, and that person will get out of office. What are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is we're in the exact same place. We're standing on the precipice of failure. Oh, so you're talking Democrat and Republican. Please, forgive me when I say this. Hell no. I am no Republican. As a matter of fact, I'm probably closer to Democrat than a Republican. I am no Republican. Do not disrespect me to call me such a foul name. You have a question, Gracie? Is that why your hand is up? What, love? What's up with Google? What's up with Google? Is Google controls all the information that is given out in this world right now. Anything that you want to know, they tell you what they want you to know. As a matter of fact, even at your young age, you're 14 now? How old are you? You're almost 13. Okay. You're 12 years old, and the jeans that you wear them because Google told you to wear them. Because they looked up something you were searching for, and then they sold your information to your parents. Gracie looked up cool jeans, and this is what she saw. So they took your information, and they said, Levi's, Lee's, Gloria Vanderbilt, Jordache. Am I showing my age? I just buy Lee's. I don't. Sears and Roebuck. And they asked which one of them would pay more to have you. And they won that bid the highest. They then took that information that you were searching and they sent it to your parents. And every time they went on the internet, this ad, this little ad came up. Jordache jeans. Jordache jeans. Jordache jeans. And then all of a sudden Tom went one day, honey, maybe I should buy Jordache jeans for Gracie. And then you went out and got Jordache jeans, and you think you did it by your own choice, but you weren't. You were sold. That's the problem with Google. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? All right, I'll explain to you later. The GOP with the Communist Party?
Yeah. The CCP.
Or the C-Star, that one.
It's not owned by, but they have a lot of influence through money.
Who are we talking about?
China's economy as well as ours. So that'll double their money.
Well, because the guy who owns Facebook is married to a Chinese lady, and then you've got a bunch of them. All these people, like, what's the guy?
She's Asian by descent, but she's American. Yeah, that's a whole other story. That's QAnon, but let's worry about that later. So let's get back to the Bible study and watch how this is so integral here. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches. Parenthetically, I will say, because the government can take it all in a second. Riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, here's a little thing that I'm going to kind of throw you guys a curveball at. Who might they be talking to? They might be talking to me. I own my own business. I have some employees. They might be talking to some of you guys who have a little family business. No. No. If you're an American, they're talking to you. If you're American, do you understand that you're in the top 5% of the wealthiest people that ever existed on the planet? Do you understand this, guys? If you are here and you are making more than $25,000 a year, you are in the top 5% out of all the people that ever existed anywhere in the world, ever. American, you are blessed. You live in the most prosperous, blessed nation that ever existed on the planet. And here, the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, I want you, saying to Ryan, make sure you tell your folks, hey guys, don't hoard your money because the government can take it. Don't think that there's safety in your riches, because if God wants in a second, he can wipe it out. Make sure that you're rich in good works, because as the Lord Jesus put it, don't store up for yourself riches here on earth, where moth can eat it, rust can destroy it, thief can break in and steal it. Store up for yourself riches in heaven. Now, how do you store up riches in heaven? Well, one way, and this is not a message about that, that's between, again, you and God. You guys that have been going to church, I don't talk about tithing, that's between you and the Lord. But giving to God the 10% of your salary, that stores your riches up in heaven. You who support poor people, you who support ministries where people go, like Sue. We have our missionary from Romania here. Guys, get with her. You support her taking care of orphans in Romania. And that's just like depositing it in the bank of God. Ching, ching, there it goes, straight to heaven. So be careful, you that got money. Be careful what you do with your money, because you will have to give an account. You understand me? Continuing. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Listen, I'm going to take you on a little journey right now. And I hate to always have to give these caveats. If you're new to our church, I don't do this often, but I have to do this today, given where we are in the world situation, as in our Bible study. Next week, we're going to start the book of 2 Timothy. It is the last thing written before Rome completely wiped out the Christians, before Timothy's head was cut off. I'm sorry, Paul's head was cut off. The fear, the anxiety that you will notice that is in the Apostle Paul, living in the hole in the ground with a grating laid on top of it. I again, for the umpteenth time, strongly urge you to go home and watch Paul, the Apostle of Christ, the movie that came out in 2018. Rarely will I suggest a Christian movie. I'm more of an action movie kind of guy, you know, Lord of the Rings, Gladiator type of thing. But I highly encourage you to watch this movie because it gives you the emotional impact of where the Apostle Paul was when this book was written, the next book we're going to study. But let me explain to you what he says here. And for some of you guys, please hold on to your emotions. If I offend some of you, come and see me afterward. But, Christian, it's time to go underground. I told you this 4 years ago. Again, God used a very unlikely character named Donald Trump to give us a four-year reprieve, but almost everything that Donald Trump has done has now been undone. In 2 weeks, the current president we have has signed almost 50 executive orders undoing almost everything that Trump had done. Yes, Gracie? Well, I wonder whose daughter you are. Gracie, you asked me a question. I'm glad you're engaged, sweetie. I really am. I'm honored that I can say something that you can actually hold on to. But the Lord is coming back soon, and what we're going to talk about is the sign of the coming, the sign of the times of His coming. That's where I'm going to take you guys. And things that we're going to talk about right now are, look, you've been hearing this nonsense for all your lives, but you have been chosen. All you have been chosen. To live in such a time and place as this. Do you understand that any place you go right now on the planet, they will tell you to put your mask on? It's the craziest thing. We're up in Georgia, and when I tell you a little redneck town up in Georgia that ain't got 2,000 people in it, you walk in and there's a sign, put your mask on, or we just have to say that because the government tells us to. This is four corners of the earth, one global community. That's what we have now. There are people making decisions for you. What if I want to die? What if I choose not to be afraid, and I don't care if I die, and I don't want to wear a mask, and I don't care if I get some virus and die? Oh, you can't do that, because then you're not being nice to everybody else. You guys understand that? This is a crazy time you've been chosen to live in. So listen, don't go to sleep. Don't say, yeah, Ryan, come on, it's 11:30. You can say that if you want. You're going to be coming back here. And you're going to walk through that door one day. You're going to come sit down in this chair, and you're going to wonder, where did everybody go? Maybe I should have been listening. I promise you, these are the last days. Not by my authority do I say that, by the authority of the Bible. Listen to me. Now is not the time to be involved in politics. Now is not the time to go out and make your videos against the government. Now is not the time to riot, to organize. Now is the time to be quiet. Shh. The Old Testament was written to people on how to live in a society governed by God. The New Testament was written about how to live in a society governed by the world. And now, in this day and age, you have a job. It's dragging souls out of hell. Period. Live life like every day could be the last, because it could. I want you to double back on all the times that you spread seed in this world, all the witnesses that you've given to people, all the times that you told somebody about the Lord. I want you to look at your family. Which one isn't saved? A guy that I grew up with since single digits, his name's Cliff. He comes in here every once in a while. You've seen him. Big guy, always tan. Sometimes he always wears a shirt open. My kids know him as Uncle Cliff, but we grew up together in the same neighborhood, literally since we were single digits, went to grade school together. His father was like a second father to me. Grew up, and he was in prison and out of prison, and he was just part of the same family circles that I was in. And he just died at 6 o'clock this morning. He was almost 90 years old. He had a heart attack, and then while he was in the hospital, he got COVID because the hospital... And then the doctors did this and did that, and they intubated him too quickly, and why did you put him on the breathing machine, and blah, 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 blah. Well, he went home to be with the Lord. We had prayed for him often. We had sent him Bible verses. We had prayed for him on the phone. And you got to look now. Who have you shared the gospel with? Has it borne fruit? It's time to double back, guys, because soon they're going to be gone, or soon you're going to be gone, and you're going to ask yourself, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Now, Anita? Listen, you got to understand something. We're going to address that in Genesis. Guys, please let me do the teaching. We're going to address that in Mark in Genesis 47, but now's not the time to worry about money. Now's not the time to worry about savings. Now's not the time. Now's the time to bring souls to heaven. Do business. Continue to do what you were doing. There is no saving from what's going to happen. It doesn't matter where if you match money. It doesn't matter if you change it from money to gold, to silver. It doesn't matter. There is no safety. There is only one safety. God is in control. And there is only one money right now, and that is in the winning of souls. That is all your money should, this is all your mind should be focused on. Oh, come on, Ryan. You know this president's going to, listen to me. Don't be fooled. I'm 55 years old. Nothing like this has ever happened. How many of you guys, who here is old, who's over 65, 70? Have you seen anything like this before? Nothing has ever happened like this. It's the end times. We're in it. Do not listen. Idle babbling, profane contradictions, what is falsely called knowledge. Some of it, professing it, have strayed from the faith. Now, let me, before we go in a few different places in the Bible and finish our study, let me explain it to you this way. Two things super important. Number one, if you currently are a politician or involved in politics, stay there. That's fine. I'm not telling you to get out of it. If you are busy about those things, go ahead. But here's what I'm telling you also. I have pastor friends who for the last 10 years have sat from the pulpit, got involved in politics, and you got to vote Republican, you got to support Obama. I've got them on both sides of the spectrum. Here's what you got to do. Where did that get you, buddy? Republicans turn their back on you. Democrats turn their back on you. They all have, and they're all going to. I'm not telling these people who are involved in politics to get out of politics. I'm not telling you if you're civically minded or civically active to get out of it. I'm telling you, Christian, make sure that you double back on your witness. Because getting the next Republican in office, if that's your goal and you accomplish it, and your kids or your family go to hell because you weren't focused on it, that's what the Bible says. There's an old saying in the world, and forgive me if it offends somebody, you crapped the bed. You blew it. Turn real quick with me, these few places, if you want to. Otherwise, I'll just read it to you. John 15. John chapter 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 18. John 15 and 18. I will read it to you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you. It would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master? If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You guys see that? You want to be friends with the world? You want the world to like you? You want another like on your Instagram page? Does your YouTube channel have enough likes? Well, congratulations. Turn now to the right. If you're new to Scripture, there's a book after 1 Peter called 1 John. 1 John, not John, the Gospel of John, but 1 John. In chapter 2 in 1 John, in the 15th verse. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. You understand that? Yes, Gracie. The world in which we live, the system, every day you wake up in the morning and you do what the world tells you to do. Let me explain to you what it used to be, and I'm actually glad you asked this question. Guys, let's go back 200 years. The government wanted to populate this beautiful nation that it's given us, and they said, you can go west or you can go north. You can go east or you can go south, and you would put your flag down and this property would be yours, and you could corner out your property depending on how much they would live, 2 acres, 5 acres, 20 acres, 100 acres. And that was your land, and your family lived there. And if you came from Europe, or you came from Africa, or you came from Asia, that was your land. And your kids, you taught them what you wanted to teach them. And your family, they grew old, and they died. And old might have been 45 or might have been 75. And you worked the land. And you either farmed your vegetables, or you grew your animals. And you raised up your kids. And they worked on that property. And then all of a sudden, in the town next door, they made it a city. And they opened up a school where your kids could learn. Oh, that's nice. Would you like to learn math, reading, writing, and arithmetic? But do you know what the world said? Here's my opportunity. Now you have to send your kids to public school. And then you know what they do? They move away. And they live just a plane ride, 6-7 hours away maybe. I have half my family. I don't even know where they are, what they're doing. I have no clue. And they teach your kids what they want your kids to know. And your parents, when they get old and sick, they're going to do the same. You're going to do the same thing that they did to you. Oh, well, you put me in school. I'm going to put you in a nursing home. That's what they're going to do. That's what you're going to do. But 200 years ago, it wasn't like that. The more kids you had, the more houses you built on your property. You built them a cabin or something like that. And they stayed there. And your grandparents and your great-grandparents, as long as they lived, they told you about life. And we worked together for a common cause. Hey, why don't you take one of our calves over to the Smiths over there? Maybe they can trade you some vegetables for it. Okay, that's what we'll do. But that's not what the world wanted. So now we work the world system. And here we are, forward fast 200 years, and we do what we're told. Or we pay the price. You understand what I'm saying, Grace? Don't ask a question and disappear on me then. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 4. That's just a few pages to the left of where we're at. James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives us more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Turn with you, please, to Mark chapter 13. That's the second book of the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, and then you'll see Mark. Chapter 13. Now, here's the thing, guys. You guys are going to walk out of here, because right now there's this major hush on here. Oh, my goodness, the things that he's talking about. And this feeling that you have is going to fade. You're going to get up tomorrow morning, you're going to have to go to work, and you're going to have to get paid, and you're going to have to pay taxes, and all the things that I'm telling you aren't going to seem to make as much sense as they do right now. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know when the Antichrist is going to reveal himself. I don't know when or if this government is going socialism, communism, but everything is in place. It's all lined up, and we have a job to do. And I'm telling you, every day somebody dies and they go to hell. And that can't be said on our watch. I made this clear about 2 weeks ago. It's the craziest thing. After 9/11, people were so open to the gospel. I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. People would come into the store. Hey, you're a Christian, right? You're a Christian, right? Why would God let this happen? It ain't like that this time around. This virus, whatever the government is poisoning us with, information-wise, people are closed, man. Your God let this happen. Wow. Mark chapter 13. Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said, Teacher, you see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answered and said to him, You see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Now, let me explain to you real quick what verse 1 and 2 said. Exactly what I just said to you. All these pretty things that you see, they're all going to get wiped out. And they said, what? What are you talking about? He goes, listen, do not be impressed by the world. Do not look at the building. Oh, my goodness, look at this. Look at that. Oh, look how beautiful. He says, it's all going to be wiped out. And in literally 30-some-odd years after he said this, Rome invaded a very famous general named Cyrus. He completely leveled the temple. every single stone. They burnt the gold inlays out of the wall. Don't think it's not going to happen under your lifetime. It's going to. Listen to me. A week before, these towers in Manhattan were knocked down by planes. Me and my family were in New York City driving by them, and my kids were sticking their head out the window going, "Oh my goodness!" And I'm like, "Guys, watch. They sway in the wind. The buildings sway in the wind. Oh, that's incredible." If you've never seen a high-rise building, like the time my kids were just babies, they never seen it. Now, oh, we were driving in Manhattan. Oh my goodness. We drove by the Empire State Building, and we drove by the Twin Towers. And a week later, they were down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them, saying, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places, and there'll be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you'll be beaten in the synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, don't worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. For it is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures till the end will be saved." If you've not watched the news, kid in Texas, his father wanted to go see the inauguration. So he called the FBI, 16-year-old kid, said his father was a radical and he needed to be watched. The guy was arrested. He's in jail still. Turned in by his 16-year-old son. And the government is telling you this. If you see somebody who doesn't wear a mask, including your own family, you can call us in this line and tell us, and we will show up. Yep. Now, if you want to take a Molotov cocktail and throw it into one of these high ritzy stores, it's okay. We won't bother you if you do that. But if you want to turn somebody in for breaking their curfew or their mask mandate, we'll be right there. Please turn, if you would, with me to Genesis chapter 47. That's the first book of the Bible. We're almost done, guys. Genesis chapter 47. This is exactly what you asked me about, Miss Anita. Verse 13, "Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe. So the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan for the grain which they had bought. And Joseph brought the money to Pharaoh's house." So when, watch verse 15, please. "So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed.' Then Joseph said, 'Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock, if the money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with the bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, 'We will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone. My Lord also has our herds and our livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes? both we and our land. Buy us and our land for bread. We and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. As of all the people, he moved into the cities. Listen to verse 21. And as of for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy. Please give me your attention. There's a giant famine. Now, when he says my Lord, he's not talking about my Lord. He was saying my master. I'm your servant. He was talking about Pharaoh. So when there's nothing left for you to eat because the government owns it all, retains it all, keeps it all, why do you think they're crashing all of the American farmers? In case you didn't know this, we have a 30-day supply of food. You got that? 30 days. Next hurricane, I want you to walk into Costco after 3 days and go, what the heck happened in here? When are they going to fill this place up again? And this time they ain't. The United States has a 30-day reserve of food. That's it. You understand that? The government said, we have to ration. You can't buy up all the paper goods. We have to ration. You can't buy up all of the water. We have to ration. Well, I'll do anything for some water. Give me your money. I already got all the money. I don't need any more of your money. Well, take my car. I'll take that car. Come back a month later. I need more water. You're rationing all the water. I'll tell you what I'll do. Take that pretty little daughter of yours. She can work here on my farm. I'll use her for whatever purpose I see fit. Take her. Why should the rest of my family die? Come back a month later. 90 days. I have nothing. My family's going to die. You got some property, right? Yeah. Bring the deed. And in less than 3 months, the government will own everything you have. And this is exactly what Joseph did to the people. Well, wasn't Joseph a good man? That's another story altogether. Yes, he was a good man. And there are some spiritual lessons here, but make no mistake about it. This is what the government's going to do. Your money is going to fail. You could have all the gold and silver you want. You could have all the property you want. You could stockpile food in your garage 10 feet high, and it's only going to be gone in a couple of months. And then what are you going to have left? And now, right now, hopefully, you guys are on the edge and going, whoa, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I told you what to do! Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. There's worse things than death. Way worse things than death. Not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God is worse than death. Not sharing the love of Christ with your family is worse than death. Not pulling souls out of hell that have been watching you, that's worse than death. Being a coward, a greedy, self-serving, selfish person, that's worse than death. I'm not promising you life. I can't promise you life. I can only promise you afterlife. You feel me? There's no answer here. Oh, here's what you guys got to do. Amazon sells this 30-day supply of food in a bucket. You get like, I'm telling you, it's just like for $1,000. You could have 3 months worth of food. And then what? Well, then you could share that food with people, and you could tell them, if you accept Christ as your Savior, I'll give you some food, right? Of course not. It's not what we do. Ryan, you know this stuff ain't going to happen. You're just getting in the moment. Sure I am. Like I said, come back here. Nobody's here. Accept Christ as your Savior real quick. Before we go, and I've told myself 10 times in my brain while I'm talking, I'm not going to go there, but I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 18, and this is definitely where we're closing. So here is how this is all going to go down. Revelation chapter 18. After these things, meta tauto, these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried out with a mighty and loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I'm no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her. Please give me your attention. You become friends with the world because you think they give you life. Remember what you join yourself to. You're joining yourself to somebody who cannot bring you life, but bring you judgment. Do not be friends with this world. When they say peace and safety, they cannot offer you peace and safety. When they say, come with us, let us have one purse, we'll put all our money together, tell them no. God will judge them, and strong is the Lord who judges them. In one day, our system will fail. It will fall. We watched it just happen last week. A group on Reddit crashed a stock. Some $30 billion loss. One stock. And people are smart. And I think that was a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I think that was a real good thing. What they did was smart. And they deserve it. But the world will fight back. You are Star Wars fans, the Empire will strike back, and they will strike back hard, and they will control the money. Anybody have Robinhood on their phone? You got Robinhood on your phone? Fantastic. Know that Robinhood is not there to help you. They're selling your information. That's how they make money. Robinhood is not a place for you to trade stocks. Verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for the fear of torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit of your soul has longed, that you have longed for, has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. Then you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour Such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster who traveled by ship, sailors and all who trade by sea, stood at a distance and cried when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, what is like the great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Now, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus, with great violence, the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were men, great men of the earth. For by your sorcery the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Okay, I'm done. Close your Bible. Put it down. Last thing. Guys, don't let this feeling that you feel right now pass. Get serious about your relationship with the Lord. Get serious about bringing people out of the shadows of hell into the light of heaven. Come to the beach tonight and worship and be bold about your faith. It's time. It's time now. Do not put your trust in men. Do not put your trust in riches. Make your faith your money and share it with as many. Freely you have received, freely give. One of the scariest things you'll ever see is what just happened at this inauguration. This will tell you what's going on. 25,000 troops, permanent walls surrounded the Capitol building. You paid for the Capitol building. Your money pays those people. Every time they take taxes from you, these people get richer and richer and richer. And you hear the people that were at it said, it was eerie. You had all of these people on the stage just. And then Lady Gaga gets up to sing, and on her outfit is the Mockingbird, which is just like, what was the name of that movie? Hunger Games. And then you look out over the people, the seas of people, and there was none. Nobody was there. They just set flags up everywhere. It was, where is this? Where's these 80 million people that voted for the guy? Where'd they all go? Well, they were told they can't go. Right. Right. Sure it was. This is going on in the whole world. This is not just a United States thing, guys. Don't think that I love this country. My family came to this country and made a life for us. It's time to get serious about our faith because it's going down. Sue?
Romania has only left communism for 40 years, 30 years, excuse me, 30 years, and they're already buying back into it, not realizing. Because this time it's not a conquering way like it was before, it's seeping in. So if it can happen when they just were free from communism.
You hear what you said? 30 years ago, Romania ceased to be communist. And in less than 30 years, they're using the food, they're using the resources. Come back. Government will take care of you. Now, on the other hand, India, who left a caste system, has rescued, because they've moved from a caste system to a meritocracy based upon capitalism, 20 million people have climbed out of poverty. 20 million people. But yet the rest of the world is completely turning their back on. What's our job? Bring people to Christ, right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you so much that there is no God like you. In you we move and we live and have our being. In you we live and we die. Your word says that you are our God, our survivor. You are escapes even from death. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Bless us, God. May our appointments be great this week. May we not forget to love our children and to pray for our children, to love our family and to pray for our family, and to love our friends and pray for our friends, and may we be bold. Fill us with your Spirit as we prayed on Wednesday night to be filled with your Spirit, that we would be filled with your Spirit and speak the word with boldness. Thank you, God, that your word gives us the end from the beginning. Baptize us in your Spirit, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.